from drive-bys to people trying to pursue their passion in music to even things getting busted at the end. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about Wu-Tang and American Saga, Episode 1, Can It Be All So Simple?
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. We're going to talk Wu-Tang. I'm your lovely and grateful host, Chef Beans. And to my left, we have the lovely...
Kitty Kaboom, baby. I don't know that I've ever had a man describe himself as lovely.
Me neither. That's the first time I've ever described myself as lovely. When it came out, I was like, oh, wait. I guess I am kind of lovely. It's Chef Beans with the Mental Cuisine. And yes, this first episode is called Can It Be All So Simple? Kitty, what are your thoughts on this first episode?
I was impressed. Okay. I was looking forward to this, and it did not disappoint. I think there was... It definitely left me wanting more.
Right.
So that's always a sign of a good show.
Yeah.
That I watched and was just like, oh, gosh, what is about to go down? Like, it was definitely... not a whole lot of twists and turns. Everything seemed very upfront and straightforward. And right. I like that, too. Like, set it all up for me and then let me knock it down. Like, don't put too much in the mix already.
Right.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed following what was happening, at least in this first episode. I thought it was a great introduction.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode a lot. And though Wu-Tang has 9 characters, I like how they had them kind of drizzle throughout the show. And you don't know exactly who they are unless you're, like, a fan of the group.
Right.
But I really liked the character placement. I like the drama that they added to it and just everything, the thrill. So, I mean, let's jump right into talking about the characters. The first character who's like the lead character.
He drives the boat. He definitely drives the whole show.
Bobby, a.k.a., which we don't know yet,
RZA.
So how do you feel about Bobby?
I love him. I love him, love him, love him. And it's funny because without even being able to say, like, I knew it was RZA. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Literally within the first 10 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah. His demeanor, just the way that he moves, the fact that he's obsessed with music. Like he said, it plays in his head. Can't even control it. He's always just lost in the music. And the fact that he's just even keel. Like, everybody else is so rah-rah.
Right.
You know, New Yorkers.
Right.
I mean, I'm from the East Coast, from D.C., and spent a lot of time. I lived in New York. And it's always about, like, bigger than life. Yo, what did you talk? I'm from New York. Like, I'm from Brooklyn. They got to represent to the fullest. So I like the fact that he's kind of under the radar. Like, look, I'm just trying to make good music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And keep the peace. I don't want no problems.
I like what you said about keep the peace because we see that we're in Staten Island and we have 2 different projects. We have Stapleton and we have Park Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from
Killer
Park
Hill.
Yes, Killer Hill, which we saw across down the show. The guys in Park Hill, we have RZA and, of course, I don't know if they called them Rayshawn, which we know is going to be Raekwon eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And in Stapleton, we have, who is it? Is Dennis.
Yes,
he's not introduced as
Ghostface.
Right,
Dennis is Slim.
Yes.
Or D.
And we kind of start the episode off with, we seeing Dennis being somewhat of a big brother. You know, he's taking care of his brother who both have, you know, mental illnesses with his mom being a drunk. How did you feel about that scene and how that all transpired?
I loved the scene.
Okay.
I also loved later down the line, I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but I like the fact that they set it up to show that he does have a softer side.
Right.
Because had they not introduced that part of who he is, I don't think I would have ever assumed that he even knew how to be nice.
Right,
he's
right.
A
Any
mean
compassion,
dude,
yeah.
Yo. He just go around B-slapping, people, bitch-slapping, and taking names and whooping that. Like, he's not a very nice human being.
Right.
So it's good to know that at least his family gets his admiration and love and caring. He has so much patience with 2 brothers that are obviously physically challenged.
Right.
You know, that said a lot about the dichotomy of the human spirit. Because, you know, you could write him off as either because he's so entrenched in both.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they showed me a little bit of both. I'm just real glad they showed me the softer side because I was like, dang, why he so mad?
Yeah, I kind of saw, like, I like how they introduced that compassion in him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we see that Bobby, I don't want to call him RZA yet. We see that Bobby is kind of at a crossroad role because he has one friend who lives there taking care of his brothers and his family. Then he has another friend who doesn't like Stapleton who shot up the crib.
And his allegiance to him is because they go way
back.
That's
Sandbox.
They're
and his
sandbox
allegiance to the other one is through the connection with his brother Divine who we get introduced to later. And with this whole scene, I kind of like how he wasn't really picking sides. You can tell he just has like a very soft heart. You know
and
what
it's
I mean?
An internal conflict, right? Yeah. Like he has a soft heart. He's a good dude. You can clearly tell he got his head on straight. You know what I mean? He's focused on music and all the rest of this is kind of like white noise that right. he has to deal with because of the circumstances of his living right. Arrangements. But I did really like the fact that, again, that they showed that. And I like the fact that, what am I trying to say? That he didn't. Like you said, pick sides, yeah. but you could tell there was still an internal conflict. Right. Like, there was a part of him that was just like, because he, when his brother asked him, like, you know anything about this shooting? Yeah. Or when anybody asked him anything, he's like, yeah, nah, I don't know what's up. Like, he ain't do nothing. Da, 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 da. Just right. trying to keep the peace.
And prior to that, even Rashawn putting the gun, leaving the gun at his house, right. that put him in a deeper crossroad because you can tell at this point he has a very hard time standing up for himself. Like mm-hmm. people just kind of tell him what to do or he's always at this crossroad to where he doesn't really know which side to pick. So after the gun was basically dropped off at his house, his brother Divine, who we get introduced, interrogates him. He's still at this like blank face trying to cover for his friend.
Right.
Now let's talk about Divine, the big brother, mm-hmm. the breadwinner of the family. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that character?
I don't care for him.
Okay. Tell me more.
He's not my favorite at all. And that has a lot to do with just how he moves. You know what I mean? I get it. His whole thing is, listen, we got to keep the lights on. I pay the rent around here. Mommy, our siblings, everybody is relying on me to kind of steer the ship and make sure that things are taken care of.
Right.
If I'm pinched, then that means that you gotta step it up. But I guess what I just don't like the fact that he tries to dissuade his brother from pursuing his dreams. You know, right. he learns that he loves music and he's just like, yeah, that's cute. You know what I mean? Like, that's a dream. We don't deal with dreams around these parts. Right. We deal with reality. And the reality is bills got to get paid. So you need to get yourself together and get your head right. And I just feel like, you know, as artists ourselves, we can appreciate the fact that I'm sure maybe there was nobody in your family. I won't say I'm sure right. that. But I'm sure there's someone in your life early on when you told them, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to move to Los Angeles. I want to pursue this dream. Mm-hmm. They would side eye and you like, word, that's what you're going to do.
Right. I mean, then think about how common that happens because it's uncommon for that percentage of people to succeed. So exactly. when people are used to a certain norm, they deem that as life. But you see that Bobby is just kind of like, no, this is what I'm into. I mm-hmm. need the SP 1200. Right. Can you invest into
right,
me?
Right.
And his brother's like, basically get rid of those hoop dreams. So we kind of get a good depiction of who Divine is. But mm-hmm. you see, he's still running things and he sends them over to, or I'm sorry, before we get to
right,
him sending
them over. Ahead.
Let's not jump ahead. When they were in the Chinese store.
Yeah.
We see another character, you know, who has a very traditional Wu-Tang character who we know is RZA and Bobby's cousin, who is?
ODB.
Right. And you mm-hmm. see he's very just like...
He's a nut job. You gotta love ODB. You got to, because this guy is the same guy from day one. Like, right. not that any of them kind of stray from who they are and their personalities necessarily, but ODB was always so much bigger than life. Like, just as being... Can you imagine if he was exposed to the kind of technology and the things that he could have done?
Oh, he'd be crazy.
His videos would be nuts. His costumes would be crazy. Like, all of that you knew was in him. He's super creative, but he was always showing... Like, he's harmless. You know what I mean? He's not coming for nobody. He's not trying to fight nobody. I have yet to see him even hold a piece of crack rock. So I don't know if he's out there hustling, but I know one thing for sure. If he's around, somebody's going to crack, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start laughing because he's the goofball of the group.
Yeah,
and I love that his personality comes through like that.
Everything. And yeah, I'm very happy that they're just sprinkling him in because from like past research, we see that he wasn't even fully into music at the beginning.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So we have him and then we skip to Ellis Island or the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Where we see they're trying to basically see what's going on with the drop off and make sure they pick up money. And the manager just so happens to be Shotgun, aka
Method Man.
Because right. we see him transition later to dropping music over at Bobby's house.
For
and
sure.
I like how at this point they didn't tell us anybody's names yet.
I like that too. So we have to kind of figure it out.
Right. They're just regular, you know, boys from Staten Island at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I really enjoyed that. But before we continue, do you have anything that you want to say to the people?
I've always got something I want to say to the people. First and foremost, we love you. And we mean that very sincerely. We couldn't do this without you. We have, quite honestly, become the ESPN of TV Talk. And we're super proud of that. But we couldn't possibly do it without your participation. So please, if you're checking us out right now, give us 5 stars. Give us a thumbs up. get in our comments. We would love to have a conversation with you. Megan is in our comments right now. Just Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
Okay,
Wu-Tang.
Megan.
I see you, baby. Yeah, so we love that energy. We'd love to have more of it. We really enjoy being here. We're super grateful for it, and we can't get enough of you. So keep coming back. Make sure you give us the props we need to keep us moving, and we'll do the best we can to keep you motivated as well.
Yes, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
So before we transition off characters, who were we introduced to? We got
Bobby D, obviously.
Who's RZA?
RZA. ODB.
ODB.
Shaw.
Shaw, who's
Who is Shaw?
Rashawn, he's Raekwon.
Raekwon the chef. Nice.
The one who's sleeping on the roof. That's Raekwon.
Right, okay. That did him dirty with the shotgun.
Yes.
Slim or Dennis, D-Love.
Yes, who's a Ghostface Killer.
Ghostface Killer. Devon.
Devon, he's the older brother. And then we have...
Power.
Shotgun. Shotgun is Method Man from...
Meth, right.
That's who we have so far. And yeah, mm-hmm. The older brother, Devon, you could tell he's more so the money man. We got to pay close attention to him. So now let's transition to music. How do you think music is connecting all these guys together?
You know what I think is very interesting, and I like how they've done this, since it is a scripted project, and it doesn't rely just on the facts. It kind of intertwines a storyline in there, right, too. I really like the fact that they make sure, well, Bobby D, it goes without saying. Like, we find him in the studio down in the basement. That's where he starts. That's where, right, he finishes. Like, he spends the majority of his time there, because as he shared with his chess buddy, music is always in my head. Right. That's what I'm always doing. I get lost in it. And that's beautiful that they've established him as that.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact that when they showed his brother in jail,
right,
the cats that were like kind of coming for him in terms of like, we're from different projects, so we got beef with you, whether we in or we out. Instead of just being like, I'm going to see you later. I'm going to do this to you. There weren't any threats. He just literally stood up and freestyled. I thought that was crazy. Like, even in the midst of all this ridiculousness, somehow music finds its way in. So I do like the fact that they've kept that as kind of a part of the storytelling process. And to kind of highlight the fact that this is where it all began. This was long before Atlanta was on the map. West Coast hadn't even played their hand yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? It started in Boogie Down Bronx. We all know that, hip-hop heads. Right. But Staten Island definitely made their mark, and this was the very beginning of the beginning.
Yeah.
So to see that music infuses itself somehow throughout the storyline, or at least they make mention of it to kind of give you some relativity in terms of how it connected them all,
yeah,
I think is super important. I hate that Dennis is so... like, that was a pipe dream, sit your butt down, you ain't got no business doing, you know what I mean? He really tries to deflect. But now that he's locked up, he can't do nothing, and, you know, his brother knows that he has to still contribute to family bills and so forth, but at least he can kind of hide away, for lack of a better term, kind of like steal away and get those moments still in the basement and right?
I guess like those moments of peace. What I really enjoy about music, especially in this episode, I saw a sign recently. I don't know if it was by Bob Marley or someone, but it said, music is what love sounds like. Mm. Something of that magnitude. And as you brought up, you see, whether in jail or whether it's the random dude who's the manager at the Statue of Liberty,
right,
and now in the basement, or even I just got done shooting up somebody's house, but play that beat again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can see that at the core of everything, music is really what brings them alive.
It driving force, right?
It's really what brings them alive. And Bobby D is really trying to hold on to that. Mm-hmm. You know, like with so much grace, because we see the flashback to when he had to go to North Carolina, you know, with his uncle or the older person, and when he was afraid. His uncle, I believe, his uncle or grandpa?
No, it's his uncle and his aunt.
His uncle
beat his butt.
Right.
And his uncle seems like a sweetheart.
So his uncle just kind of tell him that, you know, the biggest nation is your imagination.
Love
so basically
that.
Hold on to like that spirit. And you can see he kept holding on to that. So I know I've even found myself a product, not necessarily a product of my environment, but growing up in the inner city and looking around, just kind of like, no, there's more to this. Like, mm-hmm, there has to be another equation of success besides just getting money, you know, the legal way, that clearly has the same outcome.
Right.
So I like how they portrayed that. I'm like, through all of this, like, calamity, or as we can see, like, everyone's hustling. Like,
right. Because
I got to hustle to keep food on the table. I still got to hold on to what lights me up.
Amen.
You know, like, yes. You know, like I really like how they portrayed that and portrayed the black man who's like, no, everyone from the inner city isn't, you know, into
a
that.
Killer or menacing or destructive. Exactly. Right. We can hold dear to our imagination and our value system and still come out on top despite society's best efforts to keep us down.
Right.
Yes, though.
Yeah, like, so I really appreciated that. And just even what you brought up as far as, like, his aunt beating his ass, right?
Man, she stayed in that nigga. Like, nothing. Like, he leave the light on? Relax,
because
lady.
Because he left the light on. But even with that, that was a trigger for me because I think about, you know, when it comes to kids getting beaten. This isn't an inner city thing. It's like, period. But yeah. That plays a role in trauma down the line.
No,
like,
question.
Those things like that. So it's like, even with those things being torn up in him, the same thing that basically broke him down is the thing that built him up.
How about, you know, it? And then that usually the case, though.
Yeah, with everybody.
If you're caught with anybody, exactly. You're coddled. You're given the best of everything. You're never told you're wrong. You're never reprimanded for any of your infractions. You're not going to know what it means to actually rise above.
Right.
You can't. There's nothing to rise above. It's literally handed right. to you. But given poor circumstances or people treating you improperly or, excuse me, unfortunately, that will turn itself around if you're that person, you know what I mean, to be able to see the difference between what has been done to me and what I can do for myself.
Right.
To get myself out of these circumstances. And for most of us, at least for black folks, it's been my experience that that's what helps us to rise above.
Right.
Like, we aren't given much of anything. We have to make a way.
And it's usually through art, which we can see.
Yes.
They're using music, sounds, rhythm, that raw grittiness, even when, like, they brought up meth and Ghost were both like having their little argument. He's
right.
Like, well, I'm more gritty. He's like, well, no, I can talk about anything. I can talk about girls. I'm versatile. There's a lot of different angles and perspective that you can use with art because art is subjective.
Exactly.
I just like how it just placed all of them together. But we see Divine is still, you know, the one who's kind of like whatever with those hoop dreams, that dreamy
right.
stuff. So to transition to the last topic, survival.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about survival and how it played a role in this first episode?
Well, I think they're all basically surviving. Even the mom. And
right.
shout out to Erica Alexander,
right.
by the way.
Right.
Big ups to you. I'm so happy to see you working. Not to say, I mean, I know about your graphic novels. I'm a huge fan of yours, so I follow you, and I know you're doing amazing things. So I don't mean to minimize, like, you haven't been doing nothing, and now you're acting. I'm just glad to see you back on the screen. It's a beautiful thing. I think you're a great actress. So I say that to say, Bobby D's mom,
yes.
Erica, excuse me, Erica Alexander, even she has shown that there's a struggle there. There's an overcoming that needs to happen. There's a what's the word we used? You just said it. I'm sorry.
Survival.
Survival.
Yes.
Element that exists with all of them. She's working a double. She knows that she has to care for her kids, and she knows what her son does for a living. So
right.
even that is part of her own survival.
Yeah.
The fact that she's turning a blind eye and kind of making him like kind of the savior
enabling?
Of the fat. Oh, it's totally
yeah.
enabling. It's completely.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfortunate, I'm choosing my words carefully here because I don't want to put nobody on blast. I most certainly am not here to judge. You know, as a mother myself, I don't know how I would handle if my son was coming home with so much money. I mean, am I going to pretend like I don't see that?
Right.
Am I going to, because that's contributing to that detriment,
yeah,
right? Or am I going to be like, you can't bring that in my house, get out, you know, and now I got my baby, 16 years old, living on the streets, but hustling and making a way. It's just, it's a very interesting line to walk, and parents, you know, they're surviving too. Without his help, would she be able to make it with three kids?
Right.
You know what I mean? So a part of her is like, if I don't pretend that this is something other than what it is, then that might be detrimental for my family.
No,
I gotta
absolutely.
Survive.
Absolutely.
This cat is living up on the roof, unbeknownst to any of his friends. You know what I mean? That there's a lot of survival going on. There's a lot. And Bobby D, even, yes, he has a roof over his head. He got people looking out for him, all of that. But he's surviving as a result of his love of music. Let's
yeah.
be clear.
No, absolutely.
That drives him completely.
Absolutely. Because we can see that aggressiveness, that malice, that rage that usually exists inside of, you know, the, I'm not going to say the stereo, let's say the most common inner city person who's like really aggressive out there. Like, you can tell that doesn't exist inside of him. So he's trying
mm-hmm.
to use music as his survival. Then we have Dennis,
mm-hmm.
who is taking care of three people, his mom and his two brothers, but still heavily involved in the streets. And
right.
he's doing whatever he got to do to survive, to be, you know, a Staten Island dude, still flashy. He got his girl, everything like that. Transitioning to Raekwon or Rashawn, whatever they're calling him right now, transitioning to him, you can see he's definitely not playing both sides.
Yeah.
But Bobby D is still his boy at the end of the day. So he just kind of like.
He has an allegiance there.
He has an allegiance and, of course, attached to like Park Hill. Mm-hmm. Like he has an allegiance to that. So he's doing whatever he got to do to survive, even if he got to shoot up somebody's house with their family being there. But now let's get to Divine. Like you said, the older, the big brother.
Right.
He's kind of overseeing everything because he has his hands heavily involved with the top dogs where he's trying to get keys and X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But he also has a brother who's expressing a passion. And he's very black and white about it. He's not even trying to take the time to just be in his thoughts because he's like, no, everything is black and white. Everything is survival mode. And I think that's why this episode is titled, Can It Be Also Simple? Because it's not simple for anyone.
Oh, right. There's irony.
It's not simple for anyone. And they're around the high school age.
Yeah.
You know, besides Devon, they're all like 17, 18, you know?
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So in order to survive, not just life in general, you have to deal with like you're literally surviving on a day-to-day basis, yeah, putting one foot in front of the other, not knowing what is to come. I mean, this cat thought he was doing the damn thing. He's running his whole little enterprise. And next thing you know, he pinched. You know what I mean? Now he's locked up and he not even sweating getting out.
Right.
His whole thing is make sure you just stay the course. I'm appointing you. I'm putting you in charge. Because he knows what it is.
Yeah.
His mom ain't got no money for a lawyer.
Right.
It's going to take a minute. But he got caught on, like they said, he's looking at a 20-year bid.
Right.
So to think that he's going to just ease out of there just so that he can say, I'm out and I'm running things from the outside as opposed to the inside, he still has a handle on everything from the inside. So why press it out?
Right.
He thinks, you know, he's that guy anyway, right? Like, he doesn't get daunted by situations. Dude try to press him off the phone. What do you do? Turn around and clock this cat. Like, he's not going for the okey-doke.
Yeah. He's very unbothered, but you could tell everyone's like, especially like the mom, like she's affected because not just because her son is locked up, mm-hmm, but now it's a financial burden on her too. And Bobby D is kind of forced to step up because it's kind of like, what are you going to do now?
Exactly.
I'm locked up. This is what I need you to do.
Right,
I'm not
right.
asking you to do this. You got to step up because this is a family business. Mm-hmm. This is how we survive. And I think it's kind of funny that they had the Italians in a restaurant too.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I don't know. I thought about like Godfather, whatever, you know, family
or
first
Sopranos.
Sopranos. Like everything is family.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Everything is family name, so I don't know if that was like a little Easter egg or subtle.
I think so, and I like it.
You know, like I was just kind of like, that's cool. And we see what happened at the end of the episode as far as now both parties kind of collide because you have Park Hill, mm-hmm, and Stapleton where we have Dennis who just lifting up crates and he see this freaking giant
that was
gun.
Crazy,
I'm
right?
like, whoa.
Like, why wouldn't you put it someplace else, bro?
Right. And you see,
but, I mean,
he's ready for action.
Oh, my goodness. What? He got the nerve. Wait, how about when they got to the supplier's house and a Jamaican tried to take it from him? He had the nerve to snatch the gun back and try to punk him. Like
look, they have all type of artillery in here. If they wanted
you would have been gone, bro. He a little too bravado. Relax, okay, little skinny man. Just calm down.
Right, right. But I mean, it happens a lot when you get your first like gun in the interstate.
Oh,
like it's just something that like gives you that you just
feeling.
Like look, like I'm probably like Bishop and Juice, like, yo, like, no, this is mine now.
Right.
That's what I felt when I saw him kind of lift the crate. He's like, no, this is mine now. He's like, okay, it's yours.
Right,
could you have a gun?
Exactly.
Cool. But you can see he's still like, I gotta do something with this music. I can't let it go.
Exactly.
But if it can all be so simple, it would be simple. But
it's
that
not. Ain't how life is.
That ain't life is.
Yeah,
and it's just a series
of. We don't
live
in uptown Manhattan. We ain't in the upper echelon of the society. We gotta make it work with whatever we can.
No, absolutely. I'm curious to see what happens the next couple of episodes because by the next one, the next after show, we'll be all the way caught up and we could just talk about everything. But let's move into the segments. The special segments.
Oh, special segments. I can do that. So we're calling out special segments moving up. First of all, we're doing a top three, and we're doing special segments. So the top three I will get into right now. Our top three this week is...
Our top three what?
I was about to say, it is focused on the top three, or our favorite, we'll say our favorite singles from Wu-Tang Clan collaboratively, not individually. So as a group, number three, Killer Bees comes in at number three, because who doesn't love Killer Bees? That joint cranks. Number two, Protect Your Neck. Come on, man.
Protect Your Neck. We all know that.
We
That's a classic.
We all know that. And this was before, like... I mean, music videos was out, but we didn't have any of the technology that we had today, and it still did numbers that rival today's artists.
Yeah, and people are still talking about it, like, till this day. Like, you can still hear a person say, yo, make sure you protect your neck. Like, everything like that.
Yes. So it was a staple. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a, it's a catchphrase that we love. Yeah. And then, come on. Number one is, I'm sure all y'all know, Cream, get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all.
So, yeah, that's what's up. The Italians will be back. Levi Ben Yuda. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. I apologize. But he said the Italians, yeah, we didn't think they was going anywhere. I think that's kind of dope how they've intertwined the storylines, as you said. And it kind of speaks to family. It might just be an Easter egg, and I like it a lot. It's a good somebody else says, DJ Fresh Beats number 100 says the series is dope.
It's dope.
Very
perfect.
Well put.
Do they have any more questions before we transition out?
No, just people putting in their 2 cents. I appreciate that. This is the best format for the clan. Okay. I think it's a great format. I think it speaks volumes to their abilities. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
No, absolutely. Do you have any predictions about the... Well, since episode 1, 2, and 3 came out, do you have any predictions on 2 and 3?
I don't know that predictions would be the word I would use because I know, obviously, Wu-Tang, but I'm not, like, I'm a fan. Let's just put it that way. That's why I'm here. I promise you. I'm not going to disappoint y'all. I'm going to come correct. But I did not closely follow them the way I did maybe other groups. So I don't really want to taint it by making any predictions. I'll just say that I think that Bobby D is going to be able to get out from under his brother's thumb.
Okay.
And that I think his brother is probably going to be like, you know, I ain't see this coming, bro. Right. Like, now I see him becoming a fan.
Okay.
Begrudgingly. Right. I don't think he's just going to flip. Like, he don't seem that type to be like, today, I'm telling you, man, forget them dreams, and tomorrow when you make it big, like, nigga, can you spot me $100,000?
Right.
I don't see that, but he probably, like, side-eyeing him, like, yeah, you did good. I like the music. It's deep. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, giving him his little bit of props.
I agree. I think, quick prediction that I think to speak about certain characters. I think something with Stapleton and Park Hill, like they're going to start clashing more. I see that happening. And I also see more characters being introduced here and there musically.
Okay.
Like, I think they're going to lean more into music. I don't know if it's going to come from them trying to get money to get Divine out. And then I just kind of like, look, this is our only option.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the music elevation taking place, whether it's investing into certain equipment or whatever. I see Bobby D just kind of being like, this is my only option.
Right.
Like, I see that very close in the near future. But I mean, just it's time to wrap it up. We just want to say thanks for coming out. I'm your moderator, Chef Beans, and you can find me on all social media platforms at Chef_Beans with a Z. And where can they find you?
I am on social media, IG at Kitty Kaboom, KittiKaboom. Facebook is Kitty Kali, and Twitter is Kitty Meow.
Okay, perfect. Well, I mean, thank you all for coming out.
Stop saying that like it's a club.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. Coming out. I'm sorry. I thought I saw them like right there. Thanks for tuning in. Go throw up the woo. Woo. Tang. Woo. Tang. See y'all next
week.
Nice.
All right, then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.